Blog Talk Radio.
Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you, Walt.
Okay, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, just getting ready for this this final experience of my father passing. We do a service Thursday.
Oh, I hear you, brother. My prayers are with you and your family, man.
Can you hear me, Walter? Walter, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you clear.
Yeah, you were supposed to cash out me some money for a flower. Do you want that money? Do you want that flower to be from the National Black Energy News or what?
Okay. One of the things that we can do is we can get started now, but I just finished talking to David, and he is en route to getting on this call. It's amazing that we even got on. But I guess that with what's going on with the topic tonight, it really is kind of touches everybody, whether you like it or not. You know, you wanted to talk about voting and the different aspects of it. In fact, for those individuals who have been following me in any of my columns, you'll know that voting is one of the big things that I've written about. And I've even put in two separate columns over the last maybe 4 years in reference to and directly about voting. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes down to tonight, David's going to be on in a few minutes. And so I guess, Brother Satawi, why don't you get started like you normally do?
All right, Walter, thank you. As we do every week and every week, we open up this call with a reading from Dennis Kimbrough's book, Daily Motivations for African American Success. And Mr. Kimbrough is also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And that's something that's, you know, a hot topic in the news today, and especially with all the stuff that's going on with Kanye West. And so the reading for the night goes like this. Simon said, success always leaves footprints. Booker T. Washington, educator. Leadership is the skill that is most in demand in today's workplace. The role of the leader, says Herman Cain, former president of Godfather's Pizza, is to turn weakness into strength, defeat into triumph, and obstacles into stepping stones. But Joe Clark, former high school principal, puts leadership in perspective. Don't ever follow any leader, he says, until you know whom he or she is following. All organizations, from the smallest to the largest, require capable leaders. They also need followers who recognize dynamic leaders. There's a story about a young woman who wanted to go to college, but her head sank when she read the question on the college application that asked, "Are you a leader?" Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote no and returned the application, expecting to be rejected. To her surprise, she received this reply from the college. Dear applicant, study of the application form reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We also we are accepting you because we feel it's imperative that they have at least one follower. The first step forward towards leadership is to follow the examples of worthy leaders. Surround yourself with the image of yourself. That's our reading for the night. And we're going to move forward. And normally I said this time, turn it back over to David, but I guess you hosting the call, Walter. So back to you, brother.
Fantastic. Well, listen, the topic is supposed to be for this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, to vote. And, of course, he has also, they're talking about free speech. And so it is a topic that I'm sure is near and dear to most of your hearts. David is coming on now. But again, you know, when it comes down to the idea of what the vote is, you know, most people take it, you know, like depending on your environment, depending on your motive, and depending on your point of view, depending on your religion. There is a lot of people who are almost forbidden to cast a governmental vote. But then those individuals have made their choice basically because of their belief in their God. And so we'll leave that to, you know, the different denominations. But what's more important is that when it comes down to the vote, it is only one of two individual rights that most each and every one of us individuals have. And one of them, you know, when it comes down to the vote, you know, that's probably the more popular of the two. But the second one is, unfortunately, you know, being a drug if somebody's trial. And those are only two times when your ability to really cast your ideas and your beliefs your core belief on somebody's guilt or innocence or whether you want to vote with them or not. And the other thing I want to get out before I turn it over to David is the fact that, you know, a vote is a powerful thing, whether you use it or not. I guess it's like, you know, some people have gold mines in their own backyards and they won't dig for them. But I guarantee you that the vote is one of the most powerful things that an individual has ever possessed on this planet. And when I say that, when it comes to dealing with humankind, there is no more powerful thing that you can have other than, of course, direct influence over someone. But the individual vote is so powerful that there are a lot of people who are trying to deny you to have it. They know how powerful it is, and they want you to not use it. They give you all kinds of excuses, and they're making a lot of reasons to make it even more difficult for you to even, if you want to cast it, to make it more difficult for you to even get that ballot into the box. And so just know that if for those individuals who don't believe in voting, I get it, that's on you, and I'm not going to get into that. But those who do believe in voting, you know, it's more important if you believe into it, if you believe in it, not only should you just have a belief factor, you should have an action factor. You should get up off your rusty dusty, get on down there to wherever it is that you have to cast that vote, whether it's early, mailed in, or whatever. Stand in line, whatever it takes, but make sure that you cast your vote because that's your only input, your main input to your society. David, welcome to the call.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you. First of all, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Amen. That's good. That's good. First of all, I want to thank everybody for your patience. And if you didn't know, you do know. The last couple of weeks, you know, I've been a little under the weather, but I'm still here, getting better. And, you know, a soldier, you know, he may get knocked down, but, you know, one thing about a soldier, we keep getting back up, you know, and the show must go on. And we always have what you call the next man up. And I want to thank Mr. Murphy, Brother Satavi Jahi, and the rest who's on the panel. We have a very small crowd with us this evening. But nevertheless, when two or three are gathered, we're going to move forward. And so I want to thank Mr. William Parker's with us. See someone by the name of Jerome is with us, and Brother Satawi and Walter Murphy. And so we're going to get this party started. First and foremost, I want to introduce myself again. My name is David Murphy. I publish the National Black Unity News, a publication that is for us and is by us. It's a publication that is circulated nationwide and beyond. And when I say beyond, that means we are actually moving all over the world. A lot of things are happening through this publication since our inception. And so, you know, that, you know, so I can't be nothing else but grateful and honored that we work with such a great group of people who have made this happen. It's a lot of folks, it's a lot of moving parts with the National Black Unity News. But the bottom line is we are solution-oriented. And we put information in this publication that you will not find no place in the United States or anywhere. And so, again, I want to thank the editors of the National Black Unity News. I want to thank those readers, our sponsors, our advertisers for making this all happen. But before we get into the heart of the matter already has started, really. But I don't know if my brother had did this already. Brother Satavi, did you open up?
Yes, I opened up with the reading. Yes, I did.
Amen. Okay. So we're going to continue the conversation. And tonight we were talking about to vote or not to vote. And also we want to talk about the freedom of speech. And a lot of y'all have heard through a lot of the sports arenas about a couple of entertainers, as well as one of our athletes has been censored or fined or been criticized for their choice of words and or how they feel about this or about that. And major corporations that dropped them because of their choice of speech or their thoughts, and so it's a lot. So you know, when it comes to freedom of speech, it seems like from my perspective, you can say something, but if you do say something, if you're a person of means, a person who has something, you will be penalized, especially if you say something about a certain group. But in any case, getting back to this voting thing, and I don't know how far this conversation went, but from my perspective, I have listened to people over the years on both sides of the track. Some saying, you know, your vote is not even worth it because the system is already set up. Some people say you don't even vote because it will not make a difference anyway, because, you know, the status quo continues on. And then you look on the other side, you know, throughout our brief history in this country, my fathers, my grandfathers, my great-grandfathers had fought, died, been beaten up and everything just so that we can have this privilege. And whether you like it or not, you know, this world is full of systems. And it may not be to your full agreement or anything, but, you know, the power of voting from, you know, not, like I say, from a presidential standpoint, but from your local dog catcher, it does affect you. A gentleman, a mentor of mine once told me that politics, he was just having a conversation about it. And he told me that, he said, David, I told him I'm not into politics that much. You know, I do my thing. But he said, this is how powerful politics is. They even regulate the air you breathe. And then that kind of hit home on me. But in any case, I do understand why some feel the way they feel about the status quo, that things will always be the way they are because this system never did include us, black, melanated people. And since we insisted on it, so they allowed us in, but now, you know, but they only wanted you to have just a minimum amount of power. And power only concedes to power. And since the system is already in place and we start playing the game, start getting in the systems, it is noted that it does make a difference. Now, whether you believe it or not, you know, even God gave man a freedom of choice, of will. You can do this way, you can go this way, you can go another way. But the choice is yours. But again, you know, everybody has an opinion. And I just heard Mr. Murphy briefly when I just came on, But I still would like to know, because like I said, I like to have full participation. And also, before we get a little further, I also want to welcome those people on Blog Talk Live is with us. We're on Facebook Live, we just put it on there. And so we're going to get this party started, so to speak. And based on my personal history, I have seen the days black people march through the streets of Baltimore and all across this country. I've seen the days and times where people were spat upon, when people could not sit at counters. I personally have seen the time when I stood at a counter and they would not serve me. And this thing we call a democracy, this voting apparatus that we have in place in this country, you know, it may not be the best system in the world, but it's a system, and many had died for it, or so they believe it. And now it seems like the same system that so many people fought and died for is now is under threat. Some people actually now want to take it away, and make many attempts to do so. And then there's all types of systems, that the same system that you probably fighting and voting for now, they try to make it limited or make it more difficult for you to do so. And you have to ask yourself, why would one do that? And so I'm not an expert in this field, but I do want to continue the conversation. And Mr. Walter Murphy, again, I appreciate you for stepping up and stepping in, because like I say, when one man down, the other one steps up. And I appreciate you for it. But I would love for you to even catch me up what's going on. And, I heard you speaking at the tail end of it about your opinion. And I need your assistance, sir. So what say you when it comes to this voting thing again? Just want you to reiterate that.
Well, David, really cut and dry. You know, you've had many conversations about the power of the vote and how important it is for those individuals who are able to do so. You know, it is no magic to the fact that, you know, the vote has molded the way America absolutely does its business. And even though business, quote unquote, big business, controls most of what happens and the end result, a vote sometimes really makes it so that business has to kind of cow down to some of the things that the people absolutely need, because business alone, capitalism alone, will just destroy. If not necessarily destroy, but it will do what it has to do to make money. And so at the end of the day, when it comes down to your vote, you mentioned the dog catcher, especially folks like the sheriff and voting registrars and folks like that. Those are some extremely important positions. And right now, it seems like there is a concentrated effort to make sure that there are certain individuals get their way when it comes down to how the voting system can work. And that the way it can work is that means that they can disavow almost any vote that they choose to disavow. In other words, your vote then really will not count if you live in a certain neighborhood or you may have a certain skin tone, whatever the case may be. But the point is this. Right now, there are a lot of individuals on this planet who is loving the way authoritarians rule the world or rule their countries, you know, like kings and queens, you know, autonomous governments. But right now, we live in a republic, which is under a democratic concept. And with that being so, it is important that you participate. Again, if you can participate, do so. Get up off your butt, go on down to the voting booth.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6.
Can't see it right now, but I don't even have it on. But, you know, I've already done my little dirty deed as far as casting mine. But the point is that for those who can, I get it. But for those who won't, I want you to examine who you are and why you're here and what good does it do for you not to do so. Beyond that, David, back to you.
And I appreciate that. And just to further this conversation, there's a gentleman on here who always give me a great point of view this way or even that way about a variety of subjects. Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Good evening. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm still here. But in any case... any case, I want to thank you, sir, for all that you do. And but Cliff, Brother Cliff, you know, we just having a little discussion. We're going to talk about a couple of things tonight that we had on our agenda. One thing is about voting. The other thing is about this freedom of speech. When, you know, if you have seen anything in the news, you see heard about Kanye West and the basketball player.
That's Kyrie Irving, yeah.
Yes, his situation, and we want to, you know, just talk about that a few minutes. But right now we're talking about voting, and you are a student of the world from my perspective, and so when it comes to this thing they call voting, and they, you know, of course, you know, there's quite a few, especially quite a few black folks that really have given up on it, on the idea of voting, because they say it doesn't do and it's going to be ran anyway by this group or that group anyway, so it don't matter what you do, it doesn't make it different than other ones. As I said earlier, people have fought and died for this privilege to vote. But from your perspective, this system of voting, how do you view it as an individual?
Well, first of all, I've already voted. I did that early.
That says one thing.
Just get it out of the way. And as far as voting in general is concerned, I see three general groups of people. There are those who vote and are serious about voting. There are those who refuse to vote and are serious about refusing to vote. And then there are those who vote without thinking. And it seems that, unfortunately, those who vote without thinking are a large percentage of the electorate, it seems, because they keep putting idiots in positions of elective office. Now, on the question of whether you should vote or not, I think part of the problem is that we have a tendency too often to look at the vote in absolute terms. Those of us who believe in voting, many of us, not all of us, but a lot of us who believe in voting, love to go to the one extreme of saying, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. Well, you know, I don't buy it. They'll also say, well, voting, you must vote because this is how you determine how your country will proceed for the next 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whatever. Problem with that is they go and they vote and that's all they do. And then when they cast their vote, neither their candidate does not win or their candidate does win and turns out to be another one of those do-nothing idiots, and there are a lot of do-nothing idiots in elective office, then that individual gets turned off from voting at that point. They're like, oh, my vote really doesn't count. Or if they find that their district has been gerrymandered to nullify the impact of their community's vote on the outcome of the election, oh, the vote means nothing. So then they go to another thing. We have a tendency to act too much like a one-trick pony. So when we get sick and tired of voting, we say, okay, well, voting is no good. I'm going to go to economics. I'm going to engage in business. And then they get into the economic system. And if it makes them rich or gives them a good quality of life, then fine. But if it doesn't help the masses of the people, oftentimes they don't notice. If the schools end up still being bad or if you still wind up having an authoritarian in office, they think that the economic strategy has worked because it helped them. There are a lot of people who say an optimist is a person who tells you to smile when things are going his way. And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of us go. Now, if the economics don't work out for that person, then that person throws up their hands again, like Marvin Gaye, makes me want to holler, throw both my hands. Then they go on and they say, well, I'm just going to go pray on it. I saw an interesting video earlier today. It was a TikTok video or a YouTube video, I don't know. And the sister was talking about the whole concept of, oh, just pray on it. And she did it in a much more intense and raw version than I'm about to do it. But her point was, while you're busy praying, P-R-A-Y-ing, to whatever God you happen to believe. There are other people out there who are praying, P-R-E-Y-ing, on you, whether they are authoritarian to get an office while you're busy praying and not doing anything else about it, whether they are businesses that through their corporate greed prey upon us on the economic scale, whether they are those who prey upon the school system by sucking all the resources out of it so our children have nowhere to go, whether it's white supremacists who want to run around and prey upon those who want to exercise their right to speech by threatening them and all these sorts of things. So when I look at the issue of voting, I think, yeah, voting is an important thing, but as I said last Wednesday, it's not enough. One of the reasons why a lot of us get really gung-ho about voting and then get all hopeless when our candidate doesn't win, and then all, well, 4 years later, well, maybe we'll succeed. And so they grit their teeth and they suffer through 4 years of hardship is because they are concentrating on voting and nothing else. It has to be – voting is important. I won't tell anyone that they shouldn't go vote. I won't say that voting is not an important thing that every citizen should do in an attempt to influence how this country goes in one way or another. But that's not the only thing you can do, and it's not the only thing you should do. We also should work to educate our children, work to educate our communities. We should also work to build an economic engine. We should also organize and do battle on the revolutionary front. We should also support media, such as yours. There are too many media companies that are much larger than yours, talking about the ones that are currently shutting down Kyrie Irving and Kanye West. And for the record, I think Kanye West has several screws loose. But that doesn't mean that Kanye West should necessarily be silenced. What should be done is when he says something stupid, he should be challenged on it, and it should be brought out into the open air, and he should be shown how wrong he is. The same thing with Kyrie Irving. I haven't seen the Hebrews to Negroes video that Kyrie Irving supposedly only tweeted about and didn't actually put up on his platform the way a large media company supposedly has done. But then to turn around and say you're banned from the NBA for the next 5 games, or you're banned until you do these 6 things, and I don't know whether those stories are even true. All I know is that I saw those claims made on Facebook, which may or may not actually be true, because Facebook is another one of those media outlets that has given voice to a lot of the conspiracy theories that have basically empowered the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Lauren Boberts, and those sorts, who have then turned around and inspired death threats against political candidates in the electoral process that differ with what it is that they are saying. So all of these things are intertwined and interlinked. The media, right-wing crazies, the corporate entities on the economic front, and the whole idea of freedom of speech and then the right to vote for whoever you think should represent you in Congress, in state legislatures, on the school board, as secretaries of state, governor, mayor, president, what have you. All of these things connect together in this insane little web. And the longer we continue to behave as though these things are completely separate from each other, then the longer we will continue to be, as Malcolm X once said, had, misled, sold out, flimflam, and all the other things that have essentially kept us down since 1619. So all this stuff isn't new. There are forces that have been trying to keep us down ever since we came to these shores. And again, as I always say, we can't do just one thing. We can't be a one-trick pony anymore. We have to find a way to bring all of these different aspects of our struggle together into one strategic whole. And I think I'll shut it down right there, because I'll probably talk longer than
enough. No. I'm glad you did, because like I say, I value your opinion. But I value opinions of a lot of folks, because I think everybody has a right to their opinion. That don't make it true, or it may be their truth, But, you know, it's how, like you said, it's all how you define certain things. You know, of course, with this show, the national, you know, my main focus, is, which is no secret, is that I'm in the position of in media, but my goal is to uplift Black melanated people. I don't want to put that, I don't even try to put that other groups of racist people, but if they happen to be in the way, or they have to be the thing that is trying to stop us from being uplifted, then so be it. That's their choice. But based on what Brother Cliff just said, Brother Dr. Leroy McKenzie, how you doing, sir? Can you unmute yourself, sir? Okay.
I'm hitting the wrong thing. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay. You must be past 20 now, huh? I'm being nice. In any case, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about, I hope everybody else, how everybody is doing well this evening, too. Great conversation,
too. Some of us are and some of us not, but we're still here. And hopefully we're still standing. But I know you just heard what Brother Clinton, when he put a very well-rounded a variety of opinions, how people actually vote or why they do vote and why some do not vote. But I'm more concerned about us, we as a people. And I've had them since we have been voting. Quite a few of us don't take the privilege of voting. And I don't know the variety of reasons why, like I said, quite a few people, some people just don't care. And I do know that. But I do know the power of us, we Black people, when it comes to this system, we could have made a lot of differences and a lot of outcomes and a lot of different areas when it comes down to voting. We could sway things to go this way or that way. And, but from your perspective as a people, why do you think it's so important that we should vote or not to vote?
Well, I do believe that we should vote, first and foremost. We think that you have a lot of people that have the mindset that, as Brother Cliff was saying, that our vote doesn't matter, and all of those things that, you know, go along with that and everything. But I'm of the adage that our vote is our voice. It's one aspect of our voice. I'll say it that way. It's one aspect of our voice. And there have been too many people of our heritage that have put their lives on the line for us to have this right to be able to do what it is that we do. Like Brother Cliff, I voted already. I actually did the early voting. I voted Thursday last week. I was like, I just want to get it out the way, and I don't have to worry about it, you know, and it's done. And I can, you know, I can make sure that the people that I want to vote for and that I seek to be able to put into office, that I have I play my part in doing that. You know, there are plenty of people say, well, you know, nothing ever changes. Well, nothing ever will change if we don't seek to go about the way to be able to change it. We have to understand how we change it.
Yes.
Change doesn't just come from just talking about it. Change comes from doing those things that are needed in order to be able to see change take place. You know, and until we as a collective can do that, we'll keep spinning our wheels. We'll keep doing the same thing what they say is the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, you can't expect a different result if we choosing not to do our part in trying to get someone elected that we feel wants to bring about that same change that we see. You know, everybody say, well, nothing's changed. Well, okay, that's fine. And you say, well, I don't vote because I don't like any of the candidates. Okay, well, who are you going to run yourself? Or, you know, do you have someone that you believe best represents your politics or your ideologies and what you're trying to bring about? and how do you best go about getting that person to run or getting support for that person? You know, in the mayoral race here, I thought I honestly thought that Mr. Bob Wallace would have been one of the honorees that we had this past weekend at the event. He would have been a magnificent. I thought he would have been a great person to be to lead the city of Baltimore. You know, just because of his mindset, he comes from. He's a Baltimorean, so he knows the city. He grew up here, is a businessman in here, so he understands that aspect of it. He brought so much to the table. But those that, you know, that say, well, we can't change, but you still continue to put the same council people in office. You continue to put the same type of people into the mayoral position, so nothing is going to change, you know. And even now with the election tomorrow, with Wes Moore running for governor, you know, do people really understand what his platform is? Have people galvanized behind him? Do they believe in him? Do they believe what he's saying? Do they not believe in what he's saying? What are his issues? We don't take the time to learn who these people are that are getting put into these positions. And then when they do what it is that they do, and they're doing what they do because of the people that put up so that they could get into office, trust and believe the people that you see get in office have people backing them for a certain and particular reason. And they come in doing those very things that the people that put them in there to do. So who's to say, why should we, you know, those that have the belief that nothing will ever change, or I don't have anybody that has it, find the person that you can believe that can do the things that you need them to do, get the people behind them that needs, be behind them, understand the strategy that goes about getting those people elected, and you work that. It's a system. It's a process. You know, so many of us just want to sit back and don't want to do the work. You know, everybody wants change, but nobody's willing to put in the work to change. So I'll just leave it at that, Brother David.
Okay. Now, you made some great valid points, and you kind of reaffirmed what Brother Clifford said. But, you know, when I listening to you speak, now, when I was a little boy, when I was coming up, you know, there was a lot of protesting and a lot of people were trying to make change. You know, like I say, they were being beaten, killed, and everything else for this privilege. And so I thought it was important because then why were so many people, as my elders, you know, was fighting for this purpose. But today, I don't see, you know, I know we heard of the story, you know, the miseducation of the Negro, the black man or black people, but I don't think there's too much information going around educating people why we should vote and who should we, what, you know, what is the issue that we should vote for. You know, if we don't understand, so a confused mind does nothing. And so a lot of people just play confused, you know, because like you say, they did not take the time to understand the system. They did not take the time to understand the issues. They go in there and put dots and holes and everything else just because of a person, what a person looked like or what he saw in a commercial,
right,
or something like that, and they think they've done their job. But even once they've done that, those who will do that, there's another step. And I have Brother Cliff kind of alluded to this as well. Once you do put somebody in office, you know, from my experience, we don't hold too many people accountable. Once they're in there, you know, this is like every roughly 2-4 years, and then, you know, we all gather around and have these great conversations. But do you understand why you're voting? Do our young people understand the system? You know, but I think, you know, from my perspective, at least if you would have a better understanding of your choices, if you understood why you do, you know, why you should vote or why you should not vote, the purpose of voting and the power of the vote. And so, again, now we have Mr. William Parker on here. I want you all to chime in if you can. And I see Jerome is going here. If you'd like to chime in, and I see a number down here with the number 4436. And Brother Satavi, I'm coming to you, sir.
All right, sir.
And Brother Satavi and I, of course, he's the co-host of the show. And Brother Satavi also, you know, has been doing things for ever since I met him. And one of the major things that he was doing when I first met him, he was dealing with youth, our youth. And he even had what you call a recreation center, a youth camp, and he would educate children. He would read to him, and his wife would read to him. They had conversations about this and about that, especially about us Black melanated people. And I even had my children go to them. And they would come back home educating me about what they learned. And, you know, and they understood about, you know, they would learn things about who they are, the power of them. And I appreciate you for that. But, Brother Satavi, getting back to this thing when it comes to educating our children or making people understand why it's so important. What is your opinion on far as systems or teachers or governments? Why do you think they really don't inform or educate people about this voting from your perspective?
I think, as Cliff alluded to earlier, that we think that voting is the only means of politics. Politics, there's electoral politics, there's community organization, there's alliances and coalitions, and then there's voting. You know, or also there's the means to be able to disrupt the process. So if we look at those four areas, electoral politics, community organizations, alliances and coalitions, and disruption, we won't have a limited strategy when it comes to putting people in office. We definitely need to get out and vote. But as Malcolm X said, voting is like loading your gun. But you got to have a target to shoot at. So you want to load your gun. You want to have a target to shoot at. And then once you do, you aim and you focus. And then what you need to do then, you got to have a strong community organization that can hold your people accountable. In other words, that you want to be able to do is say, hey, look, we used to say back in the day, look, Negro, you don't do this, we're gonna let you know who put you in that office, and we will hold you accountable. So you know it's very, very important to hold a person accountable, because everybody, when they run for office, they have people that back them, and that's who puts people in office. And so we need to understand the power of that in terms of putting people in office and getting the desired results. You know, once you put them in office, and then you got to hold them accountable. So, you know, voting is a key component, because you can't win a race if you're not in the race. And unfortunately, the only way to get in the race is that you need to make sure that you register, whether you register Democrat or Republican. I'm an independent. But you have to, you know, you have to look at what's strategically the best way to register, and how will you exercise your right as far as the candidates that you will have. And ultimately, we need our own independent political party. I mean, and that's a thing that we was working on back in the early 1980s, when we had, out of the National Black Political Assembly, we had the National Black Independent Political Party that was developed, and then that way we was able to choose a slate of candidates, hold our own convention, and come up with an agenda, because you got to have an agenda. That's why we had the National Black Political Agenda back in the day, and that agenda helped us focus on what are the key issues. And another thing we did was we did what we call report cards. We kept report cards on all of the people that was in office. on all of the issues that came up, you know. That way, if they try to say they voted this way and they voted that way, no, we had the report card. And we used that report card as a means of holding them accountable. You all, when it came to such and such issues, you voted this way. And in that report card, we would grade them, give them like A, B, C, or D, or F. And so, you know, that's a lot of different things when we look at this whole thing of voting. But I would say electoral politics in itself is not the sole solution to our problem here in America. It's part of a solution. And if we know how to play the game, as they say, you know, just like today, you know, we got a football game coming on, the Ravens, they got a strategy how they need to do what to do, what to win the game. And so we need to realize and focus on what it is that we need to do to win the game. And the game, you know, it's for if it's politics or the Mao Zedong used to say, politics is war without bloodshed. But in some cases, you know, there is some bloodshed in terms of politics. So I've seen some vicious things that people have done over the past. When Jill Carter first ran for office, you know, I was part of her campaign, and people didn't know about, you know, the things that she went through, far as her ties being slashed and her, you know, people damaging her personal property, but she still prevailed. And, you know, she went on to do what she needed to do, and she's still in office today. And that's because she was the people's candidate. Mm-hmm. And people have supported her ever since because she always took a strong stance, and she would listen to her constituents and do what they said do, not what Jill felt needed to be done. So that's my two set, and you know, and when we get to the other topic, I'll share a few points of view about that too, which is what's going on with Brother Kyrie, and Kanye West.
Okay, we're great. Jump on that real soon, but before we do, I want to just say this and invite like Mr. William Parker Jerome and the other panelists who with us this evening, you know, their opinion that they cared to share. We try to bring everybody in. But at the same time, I was listening earlier to one of our editors' podcasts, and they had the discussion about this two-party system that we, you know, that we currently have that's pretty dominant, you know. And I know there've been many attempts to start quite a few different types of parties, but for some reason, you know, it's really, you know, hasn't taken real root yet. And but the way I see things now, I have seen the day when politicians, well, based on, you know, I believe that they kind of voted for the choice of the people, for their constituents, from their neck of the woods. But today I'm seeing, I hate to use the terminology, but it reminds me of that. This Republican-Democrat system seems like more to me today, like the Blood and the Crips. You know, die in and die out. You know, I've never seen a time. How can you be independent thinkers and vote down party lines? And that just don't make sense to me. Nobody, only a few people, you get penalized if you speak your mind. Now. So it's more like a robotic system. If the system say, my system say, go this way, in spite of your own opinion, you go that way. And so these two systems, you know, it bothers me in a sense that, but you know, only way you can change that you can make change yourself. And like Brother Satavi just said, you can become what they call an independent, or you can try to start a new system or something that represents your best interests. Because that's exactly what a lot of them are doing, you know, representing, you know, what their best interest is. But in any case, you know, we can get here all day and all night talking about the power of vote, but I do know this. If you do nothing and you don't get involved, then and then you would just have to accept the status quo, whatever, and don't throw your weight. You may not like it, but if you get involved, you can make a difference. From your, but at least you tried, at least you stood up on your own principles, and so again, that's your choice to vote or not to vote. But Mr. William Parker, how you doing, sir? Can you unmute yourself? Okay, hopefully he can come on. Jerome, if you'd like to share before we go into our other topic about voting. Like I said, we try to get everybody involved. And this number here, 443-622.
Okay, I'm on now.
Okay, Mr. William Parker, how you doing, sir?
All right, I'm doing fine. And I don't really have anything to say because everything I've heard so far kind of mimic my beliefs and my ideals and pretty much what everybody has said. You know, we've got to get involved. Just can't stay by. You can't expect a change unless you're willing to help in that change. And you can't, and you have to open your mind, your heart, your open yourself to what's going on around you. And someone mentioned community and different places that I've lived in the United States while in the service and other places. I've seen people just don't get involved, but they're always complaining. So I've pretty much what y'all been said. It's the same thing. You don't expect change unless you're willing to help make change. And you just can't sit by. I've already voted. Matter of fact, I voted the first day that early voting was allowed because I put on my Facebook telling people to vote, vote, vote. But like I've already heard, that's only one thing. That's only one thing. That's a right given to us. We shouldn't let it go to waste. We should let our voice be heard. We should get involved. And we just shouldn't stop just because things don't go our way, because you will make a difference if you persist in what you believe.
Okay, sir. I appreciate that, sir. And Mr. William Parker, you know, he will be doing a podcast soon and you know, about different variety of subjects. And so y'all get ready for that, ladies and gentlemen. So, Jerome, you want to unmute yourself and you care to share?
Hey. Yeah, Jerome is one of my buddies there. He wanted to just listen in to that night.
Oh, okay. I appreciate you for inviting them on, because that's what we need, more people to get involved. Just what you just said. So I appreciate that. And welcome, Jerome, to the call. I appreciate you, sir. And okay, if anybody, you know, before we go into the subject, if you'd like to identify yourself, 443-622, if not, you know, that's cool too, but you know, we like to, you know, your opinion, just like your vote, could be extremely valuable to us. And again, you know, thank you for even chiming in. Okay, Brother Satavi.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to move on to this other subject now. You know, you kind of brought it to, you know, you didn't bring it to my attention, but you strongly suggested that we speak about this evening. So I'm going to let you take the lead on this, because I do have my opinion. I'm going to chime that in too. But, you know, from your perspective, what's going on with this Kanye West and Kyrie and everything else from your perspective?
I'll start with Kyrie. He got suspended from putting making a tweet about a video that Amazon is making money off of. Jeff Bezos is making money off the video, and he ain't getting no backlash from the from the J community. And that's one of the discrepancies that's going on, and that should have never happened. He got suspended from the NBA, and then they had Negroes in the NBA, former players, that said that you know, that hey, that the NBA should, that the Brooklyn Nets should have suspended him. You know, Charles Barkley came on, and Shaquille O'Neal, he didn't even make a speech about the video. He just posted a tweet, you know, on his social media platform about something that people need to check out, you know. And it's like us advising somebody to take a look at something and then form their own opinion. It's just like this call, you know. We ask some people to get on the call, voice your opinion. And that's all he asked people to do was take a look at it and share their own opinion. But he also did say that when it came to the atrocities that black people have went through, that, you know, nobody wants to hear about those. And so I thought that was very interesting, what he did about that. And that with Brother Kanye West, I mean, you know, he called him out, you know, in terms of the Jewish community. And the thing about that was he called him out, and he said that, you know, that he has his own views, and they hit him in the pocketbook and removed him from Adidas shoe company and the money that he had coming in from that. So they took an economic strategy to try to control somebody because of what they were saying. And he was more direct than Brother Kyrie. Brother Kyrie didn't really say nothing about that community. He just said, you know, that he would listen to what they had to say. But the whole thing is it's a crazy situation going on, and I advise people, you can go on YouTube and you can look at some different videos. Voice Watkins has some information about he has a video on YouTube called Black Men Standing with Kyrie, and he goes over the details in that video of why they're standing with Kyrie and that don't get punked out on the situation and have an opinion. So we need to make sure we definitely have our own independent opinions about whatever goes on in this world, and also make sure we always offer a black perspective about what goes on in this world. People cannot tell us how to think, and that's the biggest thing that Dr. Boyce Watkins and them are saying on their platform, is that tell Kyrie how to think. You know, he basically, all he did was just share a tweet, you know, and and told people to check this out, and that was it. He didn't tell you go, look at it one way or the other. So, you know.
Can I ask you something? I think of that video he mentioned. What was it called? Hebrews to Negroes or something?
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this then. Now, I always, you know, like I said, I know the power of media. So that's my type of film that I was called into. And the media is a powerful, powerful tool. But media is ran by men, women. And this power that media has, it can persuade people's opinions about this and about that. But when it comes to censoring individuals because they have an opinion, and this is one of the main principles when it comes to voting that kind of ties into this. So if you have an opinion and someone does not agree with you, and so they have a right to say, well, I can take my resources from you because I disagree with what you say and how you think. And so the freedom of what they call the freedom of speech and all of this now, you know, not only this has been going back and forth. A lot of people have insisted for the things they have said when they come up to against a group or a race of people. But but this Kyrie thing, it kind of bothered even with Kanye West, like Brother Cliff said, you know, you can have your opinion, you can voice your opinion. But yeah, you made something because everybody will not agree with you. Some people will even kill you for your own opinion. A lot of people in the graveyard now and in jail now because they voiced their opinion. But at the same time, I'm seeing things kind of differently because for some reason, this group of people that we're speaking of, I think is the, they call it the Jewish community or the Hebrew, I don't know the correct terminology. But they go up against anybody who kind of, how would you say, speak their opinion about them. And people, like I say, people have lost millions and billions of dollars because they voiced their opinion in this last couple of incidents. And the power of us black people. Now, I'm looking at this thing because of all the people in the world who have been spoken badly about and continue to do so, not only even in the media of this day and time, and at the same time, not only in media, but every other form of fashion that we live in this day has been hit the black community. And a lot of these same people who complaining and stuff like that, they profit from these same institutions. But nobody seems to censor them. Or they, or whoever is being, you know, called itself being in charge. So they have selective opinions about how they're going to do this, to do that. But that's just my opinion because, like I say, I do know how propaganda works, and I do know we're supposed to have certain rights and privileges, but when you do the thing, there's consequences to what you say and how you say it. But now, but getting to this Kyrie thing, just for him to put up that video. Yes, I wanted to see what it was about myself, so I went on there to check. But then they wanted on the system that I'm already paying for, so that I can have privileges to watch this and watch that. They want to charge me another $11 or $12, $13 to watch this video, and I said I'm not going to do that because I already, you know, that's somebody else's opinion, and I'm willing to listen to that, you know. But to prophesy off of, and then we got brothers like this using all, you know, these certain benefits that they had earned because of, to me, it makes sense because who we are and where we are. But then again, I look at it in another kind of way, too. Because this population of people is not that great and not that bad as far as populations and races or religious groups of people are concerned. But because they had this collective voice or collective power, I don't know how you put it, but they had the power to do these things to these men and go unchecked, so to speak, because when I listen to some of the music that is produced by certain groups of people who run these organizations, especially I'm going to just use rap, for instance. Now, we can be called bees, holes, everything else, and no one said, you know, yeah, we complain about, some of us do. But they don't get censored, you know, or this, that. Because maybe that's the power of the vote we was talking about earlier, because we don't have a collective voice or a collective power. People can say and do feel like doing because, you know, that's the way it is. But in any case, since Brother Satavi brought this subject matter up, and it seemed to be in the news, a very hot topic. And so, again, I'm going to open up the mic to those who have an opinion on this from their perspective, cause like I say, I find it interesting when I'm hearing other people say, or should they say anything at all, you know, because if you can't change nothing, you know, you can voice your opinion. But again, that's a powerful thing from my perspective. Our people had that much power to do that to another, to individuals, and because maybe the people who they do that to are powerless, so they can do that. But again, I see my brother shaking his head, so I'm going to jump right on to you, Brother Dr. Leroy McKenzie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing with what you're talking about, Brother David, with Kyrie and even with Kanye, here's the thing that we have to understand. Various communities own the majority of the industry. There's no industry that we control, that we have control over. Whether it's the entertainment industry, whether it's the music industry, whether it's the retail industry, you pick any industry. We don't own. You talk about it just all the time in the media. We don't even own 1% of the media. So if we're not owning 1% of the media, we have no leverage. My thing is always about creating economic leverage. And the only way that we do that is by having entrepreneurs represent those of us, entrepreneurs represented in various industries. The thing that Kanye didn't understand, I'll start with him, was he thought that he was bigger than Adidas. Adidas is a $34 billion company. He was at best, and I don't even believe these numbers that they were putting out at before everything went down with him and Adidas, he was saying that he was worth $2 billion. How are you going to have $2 billion fighting against $34 billion and think that you're going to have you thought that your voice, your influence was bigger than this manufacturer? Yeah, you own the trademark, the name of Ye, which was smart, but you don't own the bigger piece, which is the manufacturing. That's the piece there. Adidas is worldwide manufacturing. And when they came to the table with you, they knew what they could get from you, which was your name, your influence. They're using you to make them more money. Yes, you use them to a certain extent to make more money, to make some money, but you found out and thought that you were too big for them to get rid of you. And all of us on this call know what happens when they don't, when you don't say what it is that they want you to say. They make it their business to put you out of business. It's been proven time and time again. They do that. And we have to, Kanye, and they showed this thing the other day, and Brother Zatari, I don't know if you saw it. Brother David, I don't know if you saw it. Brother Cliff, I don't know if you saw it, because I know this is like right up your alley. But several years ago, and I think it might have been 10 years ago, Kanye did an interview with a brother up in New York, I believe. His name is called Sway. And when Kanye was talking about his shoe and all this, he was like, well, why don't you make it yourself? He's like, well, how, Sway? They showed this thing. He's like, well, how, Sway? How do I do this? How do I do that? And he didn't understand what Sway was telling him to do what he could do, because he did have a certain amount of money, but he felt like, oh, if I get with this bigger name, which already has the pieces in place, that's what they do. That's why they're who they are, because they have the distribution outlet. That's why we go to the bigger record companies. That's why we go to these the bigger manufacturers, because they already have the system in place. We don't have those systems in place. Ask somebody to name me the largest black-owned shoe manufacturer. I don't know. Somebody else might know. I can't name them. He could have easily started it himself, Or he could have said, you know what, let me find a black manufacturer that can do this, or, you know, someone that's comparable. And but when you're all about the money, that's what happens. Same thing happened years ago with Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby said, hey, I want to own one of the three largest media outlets in the country. And they had been after him ever since, saying that when what that economic power means, what that media power means.
Brother
Cliff has, oh, I'm sorry, no. Until we do what's right behind Brother Cliff, this will continue to happen again and again and again. Brother Kyrie, I'm sorry. Yes, he did just tweet out. He just tweeted out, you know, the name of the documentary. And the ironic thing is documentary has now moved up on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going and doing exactly what you were talking about, Brother David. They wanted to see what it was all about. And now they see that, hey, they're charging, I think it was $30 or whatever it is for the documentary. And they're making money hand over foot. They're making money. And Jeff Bezos is making money. Y'all get, we're playing checkers. These folks are playing chess. The moves that we make, Kyrie doesn't understand it. Kanye, Kanye is all about himself to me. That's just my personal opinion about him. Kyrie, same thing. He's just all about himself. And if he understood, they need people in their circle that would really tell them, and maybe they do and they just not listening, but I promise you the majority of the people in those circles with them are hangers on, and they don't want to do anything to disrupt the money that they're getting from these folks, just like the Kanye thought that he wasn't going to have his money disrupted. Kyrie thought that he wasn't going to have his money disrupted, but the powers that be are showing them who really has the money and who has the control, because Kyrie is about to lose his career, millions of dollars over that, and he's talented, definitely a great basketball player. When you and I've seen it in corporate America, I'm sure many of us are also in corporate America. When you do things that are contrary to what they want, they will make it their business to make you their business.
Dang.
And make sure that they don't, you know, that there's, you know, that there's a disruption. And I'll say it like that, that there's a disruption in what's going on. So I'll leave it at that, Brother David.
All right, Brother Cliff, come on in, brother. What
well,
say you, sir?
All right. Well, first of all, I agree with Dr. McKenzie on Kanye. Like I said, he's got several screws loose. He's already admitted to having had mental health issues before. The fact that he rolled up into the Oval Office and basically hugged all over 45 like he did shows that, yeah, he's got some issues. There it is. With regard to Kyrie, the first thought that occurs to me is, Athena, how old is Kyrie? Is he 30 yet? I don't know whether Kyrie's even 30 years old.
I think he's 30. I think he's like 30, you know, in that late 20, early 30 age range. Yeah.
How many of us have said things older than when we were older than 30 that we later on looked back on and said, maybe that wasn't quite the thing I should have said at that time. I'm sure all of us have had to apologize to somebody for having said something that was ridiculous in the last 5 to 10 years. Okay? And some of us, I'll speak for myself, are twice his age. So to expect him to be a genius in everything. I mean, he's paid to play basketball. And this is not a shut up and dribble argument. No, no. There are going to be things that he understands and that he can share his opinion on. I didn't quite share his uncompromising opinion as far as COVID was concerned, but he has the right to either vax or not. And if he decided he wanted to just tweet this documentary, he said, this is something that was interesting. I want people to check it out just to see what's going on. Again, how many of us have done that exact same thing about something that we may not have adequately vetted? And I'm saying this not knowing what's in the video myself. I don't know that what's in the video is wrong. I don't know that what's in the video is false. I don't know that what's in the video is a lie. However, a lot of the media firestorm has come out of it. One other thing we got to remember as we're talking about who is taking these pot shots at Kyrie Irving, who is taking these pot shots at Kanye West, another thing to remember, there is the Jewish community. Then there is the Anti-Defamation League. Then there is the mass media. All of them are going to have different motives. The mass media is basically looking for whatever combination of it bleeds its leads and clickbait that they can find, and they are going to make hay out of it. So a lot of the blow up that you're seeing is because of the desire of the media to make a big thing out of this whole situation, so that everyone is going to be putting Facebook posts up about Kyrie Irving. Everyone is going to be putting Facebook posts up about Kanye West, but nobody's going to be putting Facebook posts up about the brother who had started the Stop Shoot Zones, who this past Sunday was gunned down by Baltimore City cops, supposedly after he was attacking a woman on the street with a knife. Now, I don't know whether he really was attacking this woman on the street with a knife. I don't know whether that Baltimore City police officer had to shoot him and kill him. I know that this happened on Sunday. I know that earlier in August, he'd been in another incident where someone else had shot him 3 times and he'd gone to the hospital and he'd gotten out. I saw that earlier today and I was like, wow, there's all this talk about Kanye, all this talk about Kyrie Irving. First of all, neither one of them is going to starve to death. Kyrie Irving's probably saved enough. If he never dribbles another basketball, if he never takes another shot, he's going to be in better shape than probably all of us on this call put together. Same thing with Kanye West. First of all, I can't quite see how it is that Kanye West was a billionaire, and then because Adidas decides to stop doing business with him anymore, he's no longer a billionaire. My personal opinion has always been that if you don't have that money already in your account, if you don't have that money already in concrete assets, then you ain't that. If Amazon, if Adidas just suddenly deciding we're not going to do business with you anymore, supposedly cost Kanye $1 billion. Kanye didn't have that $1 billion to begin with. Now, people have told me that I got it all wrong, that I don't know how economics works. Maybe I don't know how people's perception of economics works. But generally, that notion that Kanye was a billionaire before Adidas dumped him is a classic case of counting your chickens before they hatch. But I guess I kind of digress here. Again, neither one of them is going to be destitute after this goes down. If anybody potentially got a bit of a raw deal on this, I'd probably put Kyrie Irving in line before Kanye, because Kanye's come out of his mouth and said a lot of crazy stuff, including slavery was a choice, and he didn't get punished for that. Established organizations, not the Jews, but the established organizations like ADL and the media have gone after him. Just like if you talk about the Palestinians and Israel, we think the Jews are all jumping up against the Palestinians. A large portion of the Jewish community in the United States and a large portion of the Israeli community in Israel is behind the Palestinians. But you won't know that if you just watch the media and you just listen to what ADL says. So, again, there's that media thing. There's all those different little pieces that are coming into play from the media to the economics to the politics. And we got to see how they interconnect.
Okay. Brother David, can I ask Brother Cliff something real quick?
Yes, sir. Go right open discussion.
Brother Cliff, real quick, what you just said, but don't they count on folks not doing anything but watching the media?
Absolutely.
And not reading.
Absolutely. They expect us all to do what Kanye West brags about doing, never reading a book.
Mm.
If Kanye had actually read a book or two, he might not have made some of the mistakes that he has made. And that goes from slavery was a choice to hugging Donald Trump to his latest issue. Yeah, they expect us not to read. They expect us not to get our information from anything other than the established and anointed sources. And even when we get information from those sources, they expect us not to vet it. Not to vet it. Even when we get stuff from our own community, we have to take a look at it and say,
"That's right.
Does that make sense? Does that scan with the facts I already know?" And then let me see what somebody else says about this thing and show me some evidence. Show me some evidence. Give me someone who understands this whole situation. If you don't, for instance, with regard to COVID, we went through the same thing with that. If somebody says, "I don't believe in getting the jab," okay, fine. You don't believe it. If you're concerned about various things that have gone in vaccines in the past, great. But then if you start sitting up there telling me that the messenger RNA is going to rewrite your DNA, okay, I've taken enough courses in genetics, virology, epidemiology, and cell biology to know the RNA does not rewrite your DNA. The only thing that can rewrite your DNA is a retrovirus, and that's what HIV is. That's what rewrites your DNA. But messenger RNA doesn't boss DNA around. DNA tells messenger RNA what to do. And you learn that from any number of courses in cell biology, genetics, epidemiology, virology. You learn all that stuff there. And say, "Well, that's white man's medicine." No, it's not. No, it's not. It came from our ancestors. So we don't critically analyze the information that's put in front of us. And we need to do that even when it comes from us, even when it comes from me. And we need to critically analyze it. But, you know, we hear something, and we got to consider the source. Where's the source of a lot of the stuff that we are hearing? Is you drill back on it. It comes from organizations like America's Frontline Doctors. That's a Trump-aligned organization. So you're going to get your information from organizations that are aligned with our enemy. You're going to go to QAnon. You're going to believe what Q says, but you're not going to believe anybody else. And white supremacists believe what Q says. So now you're basically going down the same road that the white supremacists did. So yeah, we got to think more. I mean, really think, and not just say that, "Oh, I'm going to say the exact opposite of what the libtards say, and I'll show everyone that I'm a thinker by going against the grain." No. That's not thinking. That's basically just drinking somebody else's BS, and you're making yourself appear to be an independent thinker because you're listening to a different liar than the one everyone else is listening to. That's not thinking. That's not thinking. That's just trying to make a splash and trying to make yourself look smart. And, you know, I think of that when I think of Candace Owens. I think of that when I think of Kanye West. I think of that when I think of a whole lot of people.
Well,
I don't know if I answered your question, but I hope that.
Yeah, let me just say that. You know, the things we call media, and like I said, it's a powerful tool. And Dr. McKenzie hit on it because every noted or so-called successful black person in this country has been scrutinized or has downplayed and take the Oprah Winfrey, the Michael Jordan, and everything, all of that's been slandered through media, through press. Like Cliff said, because, you know, that's media. It sells. It starts conversations. You know, it's a lot of side benefits from the things that they do, the things that we don't even think of, like you say, you know, it's benefit. But also, it's another form, from my opinion, like I said, we all have opinions. But back in the day, when, this is what I heard, I don't know because I wasn't there, but back in the day, they used to take these brothers, alpha male that they used to call them, and stand before the other slaves and stuff like that, beat them, castrate them, and sodomize them in front of all his people and to keep the rest of them in check. They call it buck breaking, I guess. And they would do that to them. And then, like I say, that would, you know, induce fear. And if they can do that to the strongest amongst us, then everybody else will be put in check. And to me personally, sometimes I see what's going on today, another form of that. You know,
now they can do it over Facebook. They can do it over Twitter. They can do it over network news. They didn't have that back then.
That's right. And so now they can take this, what you call the successful ones of us, and buck break you right in front of me, whether you're right or wrong. Just like you say, my brother just put up a tweet, and they broke him. You don't, how you stay in your lane. And so, you know, this is the kind of stuff that goes on and will continue to go on until, like Dr. McKenzie said, that we start owning some things or we start collaborating, man, and pull our resources together on certain things, you know, or stop doing certain things. That's power within itself, to stop doing certain things. But any case, you know, this has been very interesting, and it bothers me because it is what it is. But at the same time, you still have a voice. You still have an opinion. You can voice that opinion. But oftentimes, there's consequences about the choices that we make. Not only in corporate America, I'm talking about everyday life, there's choices. And so before we come to the end of this podcast, I want to open up the floor to those who would like to chime in on this conversation. And if you have, you know, but you want to share something, because your voice, from my perspective, does make a difference. Whoever listened to us on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook Live, we may be, you know, like I say, you know, I don't mind sharing our opinion, but like to share our opinions, you know, because everybody had different perspectives on things. And so, you know, Dan, you can choose not to voice your opinion, or you're not sure what you're going to say, or sometimes, but, you know, sometimes you have to stand for something. And, you know, the old adage, or you will fall for almost anything. And if we don't look into things, and if we don't speak up sometimes, if we don't vote sometimes, you know, all kinds of things can happen to us. There's consequences to those things. But anyway, Mr. Parker, Mr. Walter Murphy, brother Satawi, Cliff, and Dr. McKenzie, I appreciate your input. But, you know, before we depart, you know, any departing words, because your voice does make a difference. Even if it's a small voice right now, but it does make a difference because somebody.
Brother David, can I say this real quick?
Is listening to you, and it might help. Yes, sir. Come on in.
Well, real quick, this is what Byron Allen said in an interview that he did. I don't know if it was a year ago, 2 years ago, on The Breakfast Club. He talked about when the other communities come after us as black people. He called them the 4 D's. He said, first they'll try to dismiss you, then they'll try to discredit you, then they'll try to demonize you, and then they'll try to destroy you. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. So first they'll dismiss you, Then they'll try to discredit you. Then they demonize you. And then they'll try to destroy you. Now take a look at who we're talking about and see, ask yourself this question. Have they tried to dismiss them? Have they tried to discredit them? Have they tried to demonize them? And have they tried to destroy them? That's all I'm saying.
And Byron Allen is currently attempting to, he's apparently considering putting in a bid to buy the Washington Commanders of the National Football.
Yeah, and he was one of the groups that tried to buy the Broncos as well,
yep.
too. So
yep.
So we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, because I heard that too, that he was going to be a part of a group that's going to try to buy the Commanders.
If anybody should know, it should be him, because they showed them come at them. They came at them in so many different ways. But then they, not only that, like you say, they won't need, you know, like I say, there's a lot of industry, they just won't let you in. You know, and so he just brought, at least he's standing up and he's trying to fight this thing. But again, brothers, it, how they say it is what it is. Today is a powerful thing. You know, you can, like I say, there's so many voices coming at you from so many different things. As Brother Cliff mentioned, you know, we had the social media, billions of books, and everybody has an opinion, and a lot of people call themselves experts on this and experts on that. You got all of these groups and organizations designed, like Brother Cliff just said. These organization of doctors behind Trump. Well, if they did, they doubt it. They said it's true. You know, that's it. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of media. Go ahead, Cliff.
And we Baba Tatawi mentioned something earlier on. He'd mentioned independent political parties. Well, in Maryland, where most of us are, we have an independent black worker-led political party, the Ujima People's Progress Party,
mm-hmm.
UPP. He mentioned report cards on political candidates. I don't know whether they've done it this year, but Leaders of the Beautiful Struggle, another Baltimore-based activist organization, has done several political report cards, mostly on the Maryland races, but they could probably be cajoled into expanding that to a larger scale if they see the success of their efforts, that people appreciate their efforts. And as far as national agendas or black agendas are concerned, one of the things that I did earlier this year, and I haven't brought it up in any of our coalition meetings, at least not strongly yet, was I started gathering agendas, black agendas from different organizations, everything from the Freedom Manifesto of the National, of the Black Left Unity Network, to the Gary, Indiana 1972 Black Political Convention. I think I have something from NBIP. There is something from Chicago in 1980. And so there are all these different agenda documents that we can consult and we can look at. We can see what they say. I was really struck by reading the 1972 Gary, Indiana Black Agenda Report. And as I was reading it, at first I thought I was reading something about what happened last week, because a lot of the things that they were going through, they were saying, you know, drugs and the addiction problem and the problem with police brutality and the schools are degraded and the physical plants in the schools are unlivable and children don't have books and teachers aren't paid enough and police are going crazy in the street and shooting people down. There's so much dysfunction in the political spectrum and the disinformation in the media. And then I looked at it again and I said, wait a minute. We were saying this 50 years ago, and with all of the effort that all of these different organizations and activists have been doing since then, we're still saying the same things now. It's one of those things that makes you think when someone says we've come a long way, you show them that. And like, okay, really, how far have we come? That's not to say that we haven't made any progress at all, but some people will act as though we've reached the promised land. We've still left a lot of important stuff undone from 50 years ago, and stuff that you would have thought we would have conquered by now. Yeah. So there are all those things, you know, that information is there for us to look at and to, again, critically analyze and go over and discuss with each other.
Yeah, Brother Cliff, I was at the Gary convention. And
excellent.
You know, and there was a lot that was shared there. And, you know, and I think in retrospect, like you said, you know, we look at our situation today and, you know, I can say, well, you know, we addressed that 50 years ago and it ain't nothing changed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
because I got the documents. I went and looked up the documents and pulled them, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, Preston Wilcox was our person that kept a lot of our stuff together back then. I just want to close with this. I was looking at this piece with Minister Farrakhan the other day, who y'all know is banned from Facebook and Instagram. And he was talking about a conversation he had with Muhammad Ali. He said Muhammad Ali was telling him, they was out to dinner, and said Muhammad Ali said, just a nigga. And he said, Muhammad Ali was telling him, I'm on the Wheaties box. I'm this, I'm that. He is, but in the eyes of white America, I'm just a nigga. I'm just a nigga. And so until we can disrupt that train of thought amongst the powers that be, then, like this conversation, we just a bunch of niggas talk.
Well, let me say this. Based on what you just said, because you was there 50 years ago, and you still here today, Brother Cliff, that researched it and have gathered up a lot of information that has been done, and some of the stuff that people still talking about doing. And here we do have a media, the National Black Unity News, which is showing a different type of Negro that a lot of people do not share in mass media. But, you know, again, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. So we have taken steps. We are doing things, you know, individually. But, again, on a collective front, we're doing that through the National Black Unity News. The spokes of the wheels, we got a lot of here and there. I was on a call with the National Black Councils of Elders. They are now with the National Black Unity News, and they are planning on doing some national and international things. So, again, you know, things are beginning to move, but maybe this time around, and I think, you know, based on our past, that if we don't do certain things and putting certain criteria around the interests of us, because like I say, we already know that somebody going to come in and interrupt us. Somebody going to come in there and with a sleight of hand, a sleight of voice, and to stop these things from getting started. Because this has already been done, just like you said, 50 years ago, these things was already in the play. But yet, you know, they still right where it started from, originate from. But again, hopefully tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, that we us black melanated people can finally come together. You see a prime example on that on Brother Cliff Wall right there. And that is a strong component of how we can do this thing and keep your independence as well. But again, I want you also to come on to our podcast tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. And by the way, I want to thank Brother Cliff and those who participated in this, the Black Men Honors that we had this past Saturday. You know, we had some strong brothers and sisters there, man. It was almost like a reunion for a lot of folks, you know. And we want to keep going strong. And yours truly will be on the Carl Nelson Show Wednesday morning, early in the morning, 6 o'clock. But if you're up, you know, listening, they called me today and see, and like I said, last week and a couple of weeks, you know, I was on again on the show in England and other places. Like I say, the paper's growing in so many different ways, but we have a lot of growth. We need a lot of support. It's straight up about this. And Brother Cliff and them, when they was in Panama, you know, I made great connections with some brothers that they had met, you know, over there. So, you know, the dots are coming together but it, you know, it took us a long time to even get to this point. But I'm very optimistic about that. We can, and we have to, because they can, based on our studies from the past, we've seen that we had already talked about this. You know, we have already planned these things, but for some reasons, those plans never came to full fruition, and so it's up to us. You know, they're just like me. You know, somebody say, David, what you doing is no. I stand on many great shoulders when it comes to media, fast media. You know, and so, you know, the baton is being passed, and if it's going to be, it's up to us to do it. So for those who listen on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, you know, we all independent thinkers and things like that. But, you know, I think you know by now. You see the power of them when they come out. They can do certain things and say certain things that can include you or exclude you from their systems. They can make you big one day and toss you out the next day. That's the power of them. But you know what? We have the power of us as well. If we just do the same thing, some of the same principles, just come together, first of all. And there are always going to be those amongst us who don't want to see. You know, they got people who look just like us who will do us more harm than anybody else. But again, we have to weed out those, and we can't let those type of people stop us. So again, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you for being on this call this evening. Hope to see you tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. And just like Mr. William Puff, you invite somebody, man. You know, it's time for us to start opening up these doors, man, and strengthen this union, you know. And because, like I said, we got people all over the, like Brother Cliff just, you know, been all over the world. We got people all over the world are forming, getting together, coming together. And we got all types of organizations right here in Maryland who's doing all wonderful things and stuff. But like I say, this Folks in the World thing is a powerful formula, how we can connect those powers together and make a greater impact that the world will stand up and pay attention to if we do certain basic principles. So Brother Cliff, Kinsey, Mr. William Parker, Walter Murphy, excuse me, must have got this cold, and Brother Satawi, thank you. And I'm going to say good night to each and every one of y'all. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye, gentlemen.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Tonight, that concludes our call for tonight. Thank you for listening.